Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
It's the fastest 3 hours in talk radio each and every Saturday night, 9 p.m. until midnight Central Time. That's when we're live here on the Republic Broadcasting Network from our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio. Of course, the great people at WLRM replay us every night here in Memphis. We've got great affiliates out in Utah and other places. Hello to all of y'all out there from us here in Tennessee. We've covered a lot of ground during the first hour, much more ground to be covered over the course of the next 2 hours, and a lot more phone calls to come as well. Coming up a little later on in the program, you'll hear from our guests this evening, Mark Stevens, and of course, our good friend, Reverend Ted Pike. But first, let's go to a man who's also been waiting quite patiently, David in South Carolina. David, how are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing good. Good to hear from you again.
Hey,
what can we
great,
do for you tonight?
I love this show. I'll tell you what, Southern white guys getting to talk about what they want to talk about.
Hey, you can thank RVN for that. We've been doing it for 4 years. RVN gave us a much bigger bully pulpit, and we're thankful for them for standing up well, for freedom of speech, and that's what it's all about. What can we do for you?
Amen to that, brother. Well, going back to the Gen 6, I was going to say, you know, according to the mass media there, that for some reason it seemed like everybody was depriving those poor, oppressed youths of their civil rights to stomp the snot out of a white kid, you know, which, of course, if that had been, six white guys jumping on a black guy, it would have been a lynching and a hate crime, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right, yeah, I grew up in the inner city in the South, and I know what it was like, you know. There's a lot of that went on, but, yeah, just whenever, you know, you figure everything's lost, I don't know how you might feel about this, but I don't know if you've seen the article in a so-called progressive magazine, The Nation, called Katrina's Hidden Race War, December 17th,
Bill, did you read The Nation lately?
No, I can't say that I have.
It's,
if I'm going to read a comic book, I'm going to get a good one.
But, what it was is after Katrina there, a lot of the white guys just got together their own militia and decided they wasn't going to take it. And, I mean, that's the only thing I ever heard about it was in this, you know, The Nation magazine. I just happened to catch it sort of randomly, you know. And it was rather encouraging because I get to the point where I think that, you know, most white folks are just going to lay down and just let everybody do what they want to do to us, you know.
Well, see, there's two things that happen when we get to the brink of utter despair and frustration, and certainly a lot of European Americans are feeling it for a whole lot of reasons. You do one or two things. You get overzealous and you become violent and counterproductive, and certainly there's people that are doing that, and we don't advocate any sort of that.
Yeah.
Or they get just so overwhelmed and frustrated that they do nothing. What you've got to do is find a way to constructively and proactively sound off. You know, we're doing it on the air. There's many ways you can do it, but whatever you do, don't fall on your sword, don't surrender, but also don't go out and become the caricature that the media would like us to be.
Well,
it's a fine line, but Bill, would you agree with that prescription?
As our friend Sam Dixon says, the first thing we have to do is abjure the realm, that is, reject the system. And by rejecting the system, I mean we have to get out of all of the aspects of the system that control our freedoms and our lives. And so by that I mean homeschool your kids, move to a rural area, you know, find a way to make a living that doesn't rely on a big corporation, a big multinational, multicultural, you know, diversity-crazed corporation. These are the first steps into getting rid of the problem, the snakes that are wrapped around our legs right now.
Absolutely.
And so, you know,
take
those first three steps and you know, the rest will follow. The rest will follow eventually.
The rest will follow after this next commercial break. David, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for being a listener. Hope you'll continue to tune in and continue to call in. We got to go to break. We'll pick it up where we left off on the other side right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Thank you. Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. What a show it's been so far. I tell you what, Bill, we are kicking off the new year in grand fashion, if I do say so myself. A lot of great calls tonight and some pretty provocative subject matter. But that's what we're about here in the Political Cesspool. Speaking of callers, we got one more we're going to take. This fellow's been a listener of the program long before we even came to RBN from the early days. He's been an avid listener and fan of this program. So, and every time he calls in, he has such insightful commentary. So we got to go to Craig in New York before we shift gears and go up to the next item on the agenda tonight. Craig, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing fine. How are you, James?
Doing good. I figured Bill probably piqued your interest with his, intellectual.
His
what do you have to say tonight? I lost
commentary.
The word.
Commentary.
Huh? Go ahead, Craig. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. I was just listening to Bill Rowland talk about how the media fabricated the Gina incident. And I brought this up in school, and I was just thinking at the same time. When people talk about anti-racism, it really is a racket because you got to think of it this way. The news media reporting these hate crimes, the teachers and professors in colleges and schools denouncing racism, the authors who write the school textbooks and this fiction denouncing racism, the Hollywood filmmakers who make like A Time to Kill. By the way, the director who made A Time to Kill was Joel Schumacher, an open homosexual. And also groups like the ADL and the SPLC and all these other groups. They're making a load of money off fighting racism. So as long as the racism is around, they have a cash cow. They don't want racism to go away. So as long as they have this mythical beast of racism to fight, they're making money. So in that case, the people tell us we shouldn't see racism soon, see race, never shut up about it because they're making money off it.
Well, and it's interesting, too, Craig, that racism will always be alive in America because organizations like the ADL and the SPLC and Hollywood in general manufacture the racism.
Exactly.
They call us racist. What do we advocate for on this program? Equal rights and
exactly.
fair treatment. That's all I think we've ever advocated on this program. I certainly don't want to see any ill will befall minorities in this country, but I certainly don't want to see it befall our people either, particularly
exactly.
when there's such egregious double standards in play. But with that being said, Craig, continue on.
And what you were talking about with Israel, that's the total double standard. We're supposed to be a proposition nation. Like, we don't have a race. We don't have a character. Yet our greatest ally is an ethnostate who we're supposed to defend as a state with a racial character.
Well, Bill, you brought that up. You opened that Pandora's box. And I tell you, there is not a more flagrant. I don't think there's a more flagrant display of hypocrisy in the world today than Israel compared to America, that which they have for themselves versus that which they advocate for us. And Craig heard you talking about that, and I guess he agreed.
Can I make two more comments, James?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm sticking with the same topic. One thing I found to put people off who I'm debating with racism, and I just break it down to the base logic. I tell them, if I go to Detroit and I say, there's too many black people here, we need more Hispanics and whites, I'm denounced as a racist. If I go to New York and I say, there's too many Jews there, we need more Christians and Muslims, I'm denounced as an anti-Semite. But if I go to any small town community in America and I say, there's too many whites here, we need more blacks and Hispanics, I'm a saint. I'm practicing our greatest strength. That's another hypocrisy I need to point out.
Bill, now that's really put down into, an elementary example, but Craig is dead on the money, I think. And thanks, Craig, so much for calling in with such astute points and observations. He's right. If you advocate that sort of diversity in multiculturalism, quote-unquote, Bill, you're denounced as an anti-Semite or a racist if you employ it in the way that Craig exemplified there. What say you?
For years, the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center have raged against the Pioneer Fund, which was originally set up as a fund that was promoting eugenics among capable people. And yet, the ADL nor the Southern Poverty Law Center would ever condemn the Lappin Fund, which was recently bankrupt because of the Madoff debacle. But this is a group that openly and quite explicitly promoted racial hygiene among Jews. This was their sole activity, was to encourage Jews to marry other Jews. So all I'm saying is, again, what I said about Israel earlier, if these are the role models of the world, if these are the moral arbiters and the moral examples for the whole world to follow, then we need to be more like Israel, and we need to reestablish segregation. We need to bomb the border with Mexico to ensure that these people don't sneak in and spread terror throughout the United States. We need to build a huge wall along our border, and we need to subvert all other nations of the world to our will so that our survival is ensured. We need to use Israel as our role model for a nation. And then our problems would be solved. We would simply say, well, this is what Israel does. Why can't we do it? And we need to repeat this over and over again. They do this in Israel. Why can't we do it? Obviously, the Israelis and the Jews have established their moral superiority even over the Pope in Rome, over every Christian church. So who is going to defy their moral superiority?
You know, and Bill, I would love, it'll never happen, of course, but I would love to see how all of these Israel firsters would respond to that question. And what a great and appropriate question it is. They would never allow a guy like us to get on a national television outlet and ask the question, but how would they respond? How could they respond? What could they say?
They'd say we were never in a concentration camp, never. We had never suffered under the Holocaust. We had never been victims of the Nazis. you know, in other words, they're going to throw us back into the historical conundrum of the Holocaust, which, of course, they have exploited, you know, with every resource available. You know, they have used the Holocaust as their cudgel against all the other nations of the world. So, I mean, that would be their answer is, well, you don't understand because, you know, 6 million of your people didn't die, in the gas chambers at Auschwitz and so forth and so on. So, you know, even though the United States never built the gas chambers,
under the hands of Bolshevism, but that doesn't count, though.
No, of course not.
All right. Well, anyway, great call by Craig and great commentary by you, Bill. I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of Bill Rowland. I'll say that on the air. But and I'm a big fan of all of our listeners, too. Great callers. Great show tonight. I'm so excited. But, Bill, one more thing we got to cover tonight before we go to the next break is a story that came across our news wire, as it were, sent to us by our good friend and fellow political cesspool guest, Dr. Virginia Abernathy. It seems as though the Detroit automakers haven't quite gotten past the war between the states yet because Detroit is blaming the South, literally, for as being the reason, we're the reason that the Big Three, as they're being called, is going under. And, Bill, what's the story there?
Before the election ever took place, you and I had discussed what would happen under the Obama administration. Well, this is a warm-up. Because Detroit is blaming the South for the failure of to get funding, sufficient funding, or you know, to have anyone oppose funding for the automobile industry, and you know, because some Southern Republicans had voted against their bailout. Well, they did make the point that there were many foreign automakers who have invested in factories in the South. Their cars built by Nissan in Tennessee, their cars built by there's a big Toyota plant being built in Mississippi. In Alabama, I think BMWs are built there. And all over the South, foreign companies have seen the value of the Southern worker and have invested in the South for, you know, to build their cars. Yet up North, where they have promoted multiculturalism and inclusion and have wanted to stay in Detroit, you know, they're staying in Detroit is still headquartered in the only third world city in North America. And so they blame the South for their own failures to move factories down here. Well, that's their problem. You know, I'm not saying that the Big Three should not have some relief. I mean, I see that many of their problems are caused by the government itself. But to blame us because they have failed to send, you know, to build factories where people are willing to work, you know, and then to have our senators and our congressmen throw away the goodwill we have built up with companies like BMW, with companies like Toyota, Mazda, Nissan. We're supposed to just ditch that for the sake of Flint, Michigan, and Detroit, Michigan, the cesspools of the United States. No, thank you.
And it's interesting, too, Bill, and we only have about a minute and a half before break, but the parallels there between the real origins of why the North went to war with the South back in 1861 are in play here with this, wouldn't you say?
They're blaming us for our success. You know, they're angry at our success, and then when they don't get their free ride and their free lunch, then they blame it on us because we voted against that. You know, again, I'm not saying that the automobile manufacturers don't deserve some sort of relief, but don't spit in our face because you failed to invest in our part of the country, and you failed to build up goodwill down here. That's your problem. Go to the NAACP and ask for their support. You know, that's where you built your goodwill. Don't come down here and blame us because we failed to appreciate your dilemma.
And, you know, and those companies that are building plants here in the South, there's a huge one in Jackson, Mississippi. They're doing great. I mean, making money hands over fist while those who are the victims of their own political correctness are going under. Well, we got to take another break, but we'll be back with much more. Don't go anywhere. The Political Cesspool continues tonight with James Edwards and Bill Rowland right after these words from our sponsor.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Good to you. Hang on. Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold's secure sleeve and secure badge holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770, because personal information should stay personal.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that we do air live here on RBN and our affiliate stations nationwide every Saturday night from 9 p.m. until midnight. 9 p.m. until midnight, you can catch us live. But if you ever miss a live show, I couldn't imagine what you would find more entertaining to do on a Saturday night. But if you can think of something that's more fun than listening to us, as hard as that may be, just go back and listen to us in the broadcast archives. If you can't catch us live, you can access our broadcast archives via our official website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And if you appreciate the work of this program and the truth that we try to bring to you, why don't you consider being a financial contributor to this program? We certainly need your help and considerations in order to stay on air. A lot more interactive features and fun to be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That little programming announcement being said, Bill, I know that you wanted to harken back to a previous call that we received before we go to our next segment. And what were your thoughts?
Well, the caller had mentioned Genesis and the meaning of Adam's name, and I have no argument with that. But what I wanted to say is that the big problem with evangelical Christianity and in our churches today is the deliberate attempt by preachers and theologians and leaders of the churches to keep Christians in deliberate ignorance about Scripture. You're not going to sit down in a Bible study class and learn what Adam's name means or what Cain's name means or what Seth's name means. You're not going to learn these things. And the meaning of names in the Bible is extremely important. And so I urge all of you Christians out there is to get a good reference Bible or a Bible dictionary that will tell you what these things mean. And then the truth of the Bible becomes crystal clear, it becomes sharp, and then you understand what Adam and Eve were all about. You understand Noah. You understand these things. They don't become fairy tales that are told on Sunday morning by someone who is really up there to tell stories like Captain Kangaroo or some kids show. You know, this is the real thing. But let me make a point about how far down Christianity or organized Christianity has become. Christianity Today, go to that website and you will see the rotting corpse of postmodern Christianity before your very eyes. And now this is a website that is devoted really to the keeping the church organized and really torquing up your church and getting people in the pews and raising money. There's even a little section on be careful about preparing your taxes because the tax man is coming around and you need to have a good accounting system. All of this is what the main focus of Christianity Today is all about. And there's very little talk of repentance. There's very little mention of Jesus Christ. There's very little talk about sin. One Orthodox Christian did do a good article on repentance and sin and so forth, which I thought was very good. But he's the rarity. On the other hand, when it comes to evangelism, there is an article about welcoming, and the article was written by a preacher named Cousins. But he writes about welcoming people into his church and making people feel more welcome. You know, and homosexuals, one of his congregants said that they feared that the church was being taken over by homosexuals. And this preacher's response was, well, that's good. They can sit next to the hypocrites and the gossips and all the other
people. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on with them. You know, that's the stuff we talk about.
Sin.
I tell you.
It's all
that, along with the Republican Party's endless pandering, my two biggest pet peeves. And we see it here in Memphis every single day with churches like Bellevue and First Congregational and on and on and on.
Right. But it goes on to say that one day a man walked in with a T-shirt on that had the F word written across it. And instead of saying this is inappropriate and you're defiling the house of God, well, just go sit down. And, you know, everyone was a little, you know, conscious of it, but we went ahead with the service. But they accepted him, even though he had this foul word written across his chest in the house of God. But they made him feel welcome. And my question to you, Reverend Cousins, is what if the man had walked in with a swastika on his T-shirt or a Confederate flag? Would you have been as welcoming then? Would you have been as tolerant? I don't think so. This is the hypocrisy of modern Christianity. It focuses on the lowest common denominator. They cast their pearls before swine every day, just as the Republican Party casts their efforts against the people who vote for them, against their congregation, and with the people who will never vote for them. And so this is, as I say, go to Christianity Today and look over their little pastel website, and you'll see exactly why Christianity is in the state that it's in. I don't mean Christianity as our faith. I mean Christianity as an organized religion. This is where the failure is right here, and that is treating the church like some sort of business or some sort of political party.
Well, Bill, you certainly got me fired up, I tell you, and I agree with you wholeheartedly in everything that you say just then, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too. And it's something we've got to rectify. I mean, we've got to salvage our institutions. We've got to retake our institutions, be it the seminary, be it the media, be it whatever, government. Come on. But being as fired up as I am over this issue, and no issue gets under my skin more quickly than this, I'm going to go unscrew the fire hydrant and cool myself down as we go into this next commercial break. We'll continue with more as the political cesspool rolls forward right after this on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. One of the things, of course, last week was a great show. It really was a good show. Well, they all are. I can't say. I can't pick one out of the other. They're all great shows. But last week we had a pretty riveting discussion with a couple of PhDs over the man Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I know, Bill, you wanted to be on for that one. And then we moved on to the topic of Barack Obama's forthcoming inauguration before rounding out the show last week with Bill joining us late, going down the top 10 moments in the political cesspool year that was 2008. But Bill, going back to the inauguration, I know you have a couple of thoughts about that. Of course, one of the things I made mention of last week was the fact that he's having Rick Warren there, the purpose-driven life of a guy, the Christian pastor that presides over the 20,000 member strong Saddleback Church in California. Well, the politically correct powers that be didn't like the fact that he had some discriminatory verbiage on his website that was, not very, well, it was basically Christian wording with regards to homosexuality. Rick Warren fell in line quick. He's going to take that down. He's already taken it down. He's going to pray at the inauguration. Then he's going to go pray at the Martin Luther King tribute at Ebenezer Church on Martin Luther King Day. That's just one of the people and one of the little subplots going along at the inauguration. We ranted about that enough last week. He's having the author of the Venus Hottentot, that perverted trash. She's going to be there. The so-called poet is going to be there to, I guess, read a poem. What are your thoughts on the inauguration, Bill? What can we expect? And it's coming up fast.
My thoughts are that Barack Obama made exactly the right choice in Rick Warren, because Rick Warren is jumping through the hoops and doing his little circus dance for Barack. What Barack Obama is proving is that he can put a hook in the mouth of the Christian right in this country. And Rick Warren is just a clown, you know, that's playing out a role for this election. And he's proving that we have no power, that the Christian right has been neutered or anesthetized. And, of course, I'm sure that all the other evangelists, you know, Billy Graham and Billy Graham's son and Pat Robertson and all the other big televangelists, the big talking heads, will all get behind Barack Obama at some point. And they're going to say, well, he supports Israel. He is a supporter of Israel. And he's gonna protect Israel, and it's gonna go on and on and on. The same pattern of behavior will continue. Meanwhile, on the social level, there's gonna be a revolution, of course. There are gonna be hate crime laws passed to convict people not only of you know, exhibiting hate, racial hate or ethnic hate or gender hate during a crime, but hate speech will be punished as well. And, you know, there'll be a social revolution in which the left is going to push its agenda straight down the road. So Rick Warren is really nothing but a token now. He is, in a sense, become a religious Pharisee, a religious fraud. And naturally, he's going to go pray at the Martin Luther King Memorial, because that's the national god of the United States, is Martin Luther King. He's our national deity. So it's,
you
know,
I think
to
you
Jesus
can understand,
Christ is not important.
Bill, quite easily why I have a lot more disdain. I'm not going to say I hate Rick Warren. I mean, I hate what he's standing for and what he's doing. I have a lot more disdain, and I'm a lot more upset and frustrated and annoyed with people like Rick Warren than Barack Obama himself. I mean, Barack Obama makes no... He minces no words. I mean, he is an outright Marxist. He is a pure European socialist, to say the least, and everybody knows it. He knows it. He doesn't pretend to be anything different. But then you got this guy that's pretending to be a so-called conservative Christian pastor. I mean, obviously, you're a little more upset at guys like Rick Warren in these actions than you would be at a guy like Obama. Obama's just giving you what you would expect from a communist, you know? Do you agree with that? I mean, would you place your ire, would you focus it or train it more intensely on people like Rick Warren?
Naturally, because Rick Warren is proving that evangelical conservative Christianity in this country is bloodless and toothless. He's getting up in front of the entire country and proving that evangelical Christianity and conservative Christianity, so-called, is bloodless and toothless. It has nothing in common with the saints of the past who stood up for the faith. There's even some question as to whether he will invoke the name of Jesus Christ when he gives this prayer.
That question in and of itself, to find the answer to that question, might convince me to tune in to the inaugural televised proceedings. I will like to see if he mentions the name of Jesus Christ when he gives this all gods are the same type of prayer that you would come to expect from such an event. That's a very, very interesting point, Bill.
Of course a lot of people will be tuning in. A lot of people on so-called Christians will be tuning in to see Rick Warren. And they'll be tuning in to see what Rick Warren's going to say. But the background wallpaper of this is Barack Obama himself. And that's really what you're going to see beyond Rick Warren. And this event is going to probably go a long way towards anesthetizing Christians in this country, who will now no longer see Barack Obama as a threat to our faith and our way of life. The country is on track right now to become a Brazilian fascist state on the model of Brazilian fascism. We talk about his Barack's left-wing views, and we talk about his history as a Marxist and so forth. But the fact is that we're headed towards a Brazilian-style socialism and fascism, which means a permissive society that embraces homosexuality and all sorts of sexual perversions and multiculturalism and diversity, but has a repressive government that will restrict free speech, that will punish thought crime, that will make sure the government is safe from any sort of insurrection or any sort of opposition. This is the key to what's going on. Study Brazil. Go and look at the government and the system in Brazil, and that is exactly where we're headed.
Well, it's going to be, I know a lot of people, and rightfully so, were focusing their attention and their stamina on Christmas and all the great festivities that we've had with friends and families over the course of the last month. It's a great time. It's a spiritual time. It's a fun time. The time that needs to be dedicated to loved ones, and even though we continue to host this show obviously every week on schedule like clockwork, even I have been kind of distracted from the ominous things that are to come. I mean, we are about to inaugurate a cultural communist. Well, not even a cultural. I mean, just an outright Marxist. That's what Barack Obama is. And we need now to return our gaze upon that which is coming down the pike. I mean, we've got to be eternally vigilant, and we need to begin to refocus on all of the things that Obama is going to try to do, probably to, and I hate to say it, to great success. I mean, the Democrats absolutely own Washington lock, stock, and barrel. Not that the Republicans are a much better alternative for reasons that we document all the time on this program, but we're going to begin to gaze with a little more scrutiny on that which Obama is going to be trying to do. And there's going to be a lot of bad, and very, not just bad as if we disagree with it, but very harmful and perhaps freedom-threatening legislation coming out of this Obama administration, which will be sworn in just a few days' time, Bill. Very perilous road we're about to trod.
The thing that's, I think it's going to happen is that in order to get this hate crime legislation on the books, is that some crime will either be publicized and exaggerated that involves a Christian, some sort of hate crime against a Christian or Christians. And this is what's going to melt in the mouth of these evangelicals who see that now the wisdom of hate crime legislation to protect Christians from anti-Christian acts. But of course, no such hate crime would ever be prosecuted. It'll be hate crimes or thought crimes against Jews, blacks, homosexuals, feminists. These will be the only certified victims of hate crimes. There aren't going to be any white hate crime victims. Because the prosecution will simply ignore any evidence that a hate crime had been committed, just as in the case of the Knoxville couple, who were clearly victims of hate crimes, but somehow there was not a bit of evidence that that was the case. The case here in Memphis, if in fact the victims are white, will never be prosecuted as a hate crime. You know, we know these things, and yet I'm telling you that Obama is going to focus much of his attention on neutralizing the Christian conscience in this country, the evangelical Christians, to simply put blinders on them. You know, it says in the Bible that in the end of days, many will be deceived, even the elect. And that's where we're headed. And this thing that about Rick Warren not invoking the name of Jesus Christ, Jerry Falwell himself was already guilty of that. In a meeting with an interfaith meeting with Jews and I think some Muslims, he got up and said his prayer. He didn't invoke the name of Jesus Christ either. He didn't have the guts.
And that's it's not almost, it's just outright is blasphemous for a Christian pastor to not ask for the supplication of Jesus Christ in a prayer. I mean, it's just unheard of in churches that I've attended, and I attend small Southern Baptist churches, which, you know, to be fair, are certainly infested with a lot of problems of their own. But, I mean, it just wouldn't happen where the pastor wouldn't in Jesus' name in a prayer. I mean, what did... Without Jesus, what separates Christianity from a lot of these other religions?
Well, go read Christianity Today. Go to their website, Christianity Today, and you'll see exactly what the mentality of these Christians to be. And that is that we're just one of many faiths. We all have the same road to God, and this is just our way of getting a seat on the bus to Godland. And so, you know, this is the idea that's in the minds of most Christians. And of course, it's apostasy. It's heresy. But it's much easier to be a jellyfish Christian and a soft Christian and live in the world and have a chance maybe of not being murdered or you know of making everyone else happy and of fulfilling King's dream than to be a real Christian and stand up for your faith and stand with your master. That's much harder. And they're not going
to. Well,
do
then
it.
You have to endure the living hell on earth that we go through on a daily basis, Bill, with the bullseye, you know, prominently painted on our head and on our chest, and yeah, that's okay. I mean, you know, again, it's our duty, but it's a price that a lot of people aren't willing to pay right now, and they're going to have to pay it, or else. Well, it doesn't matter, you know. If they don't step forward and get in the trenches with us now, what are they so afraid of? They're afraid of being ostracized. They're afraid of being targeted and having to go through, you know, swallow a little, you know, walk through a little fear. But by being inactive, they're still going to end up in the same place eventually. So, you know, we heard that imaging of Braveheart at the very beginning of the program in between the show that comes on before ours and now, and it's exactly true. I mean, you know, this is it's an animating contest, you know, freedom is, and whether people become active and pay the price more quickly or they remain inactive and pay it, sometime down the road, it's still going to happen unless we become active and are victorious, which is, of course, the outcome that we would like to see manifest itself. But with regards to the inauguration, we spent too much time talking about Rick Warren last week, and now here I find myself guilty of it. It's just such an incredible and crazy and sad story, but these sellouts. But anything else we can expect to see at the inauguration, Bill, that you've got your eye on? I don't want to spend the entire segment talking about Rick Warren again, but it really is, I think, the focal point for people with our religious persuasions. But what else do you think we'll see there besides Rick Warren?
This is Barack. You know, in most cases, inaugurations are pretty dull affairs, and inaugurations, I can't remember any presidential inauguration in my lifetime where anything dramatic happened. I think this is going to change with Barack Obama's inauguration. For one thing, a record crowd is supposed to be there in attendance, and second, I think it's going to be like the Macy's Day Christmas Parade. You're going to see the panorama of Barack Obama support, and you know, it's going to be more reminiscent of the giant Soviet parades that took place in Red Square, where there may not be too many weapons or too many soldiers, but you're going to see the rank and file of the Obama squads and of the Obama brigades out there. You're going to see the power of Barack Obama at this inauguration, and he wants the entire country to see it. He wants to show just how much support he has from people who will become fanatics for him and for his presidency. And that's what you'll see there. And, of course, you're going to get up and see celebrity after celebrity in a dead faint over being in his presence. This is also part of the drama of convincing us that he is a near godlike figure when, in fact, we know in our hearts that he's an antichrist.
Well, and, you know, you were talking earlier about the hate crimes legislation that apparently you believe will, in fact, pass. It's come so close to passing under the quote-unquote conservative George Bush administration. We're going to have Ted Pike on, not only a engaging guest, but a very informative guest. You know, one of the things we try to do here on the Political Cesspool is certainly be entertaining, but much more importantly, our mission is to be informative and to arm you with the truth. And Ted Pike's going to do just that. Ted Pike's going to be with us in a moment. And I'll even say this because I might forget, and Bill was mentioning that, which Ted's going to be on to talk about a moment ago. He's going to be on to give us his prediction about what might befall us under this new Obama administration on the front of hate crimes legislation. I tell you, Bill, I'm interested. I talked to Ted for a little while today, earlier this morning. I'm interested to see what he's going to say. I went over with him about that what I want to talk about tonight, and I didn't really get into it because I wanted to save it for the radio, what he really believes is going to happen under the Obama administration and the Democratic supermajority in Washington. So it's going to be a very enthralling and engaging interview coming up very shortly with Reverend Ted Pike. But, yeah, Bill, so what, how many more days is it to the inauguration?
Well, I think it's the 20th, so we've got, what, 18, 17 days? But here's
the day after Martin Luther King Day,
isn't that
special?
But think about this too, James. Think about how little you've seen of Reverend Al Sharpton and Reverend Jesse Jackson over the past few months. Barack Obama has them.
Hang on one second, Bill. You're about to open up a can of worms that I'm all too tempted to touch. But we got to go to break. We'll pick up with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton when the cesspool continues. Right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIT card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys. So today,
I'll be standing right. Okay, right before we went to break, Bill Rowland said the magic words, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. How do they play into all this coming up later this month, Bill? Actually, in about 2 weeks' time, the Obama administration inauguration. Where are they? You hadn't heard much from them lately, as you said.
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have been invisible since the election. They have not been strutting around looking for protests.
I haven't seen Jesse Jackson since election night, where he was there crying those fake tears a la Bill Clinton in Grant Park.
Exactly. And they have been virtually invisible. They have not been strutting around looking for civil rights issues to stir up another Jenna 6 or another Tawana Brawley. They have been virtually behind a cloud somewhere. And I think the reason is first of all, Jesse Jackson, as we know, made a gaffe on the air with regards to Barack Obama, using the infamous N-word in reference to his own people and Barack Obama. And so I think that he is in the doghouse himself right now. And Al Sharpton, I believe it started at the beginning of the presidential Democratic nomination process as a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Well, both of them
are now.
Did
Al Sharpton not run for president this year? This would be the first time that he hasn't. I can't remember.
But now Barack Obama clearly has his thumb over both of them. He has enough power to tell them what to do and what not to do. And I think what he's going to do is save Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to beat the war drums when he needs his agenda pushed through if it receives opposition in the Congress or the Senate. So I would expect them to begin to rant and rave once Obama tries to get something and he's being denied what he wants, or his policy is not being pushed through because of opposition, of course, primarily from whites. So expect to hear from them when this hate crime legislation comes back up again, because that's when they're going to prove to be useful idiots. They right now have no purpose, because this inauguration has to take precedence over anything that they could exploit or that they could make news about. So,
well, Bill, we got a minute till break. And without changing the subject too radically, I want to ask you a semi-related question. A lot of people were saying in the run-up to the presidential election, with John McCain being such a horrible candidate, that the worst might be better. Now, I know you and I didn't particularly subscribe to that notion, in saying that Barack Obama might in some ways be good for paleoconservatism or for European Americans and our rights, but... you think that there is any silver lining here? I mean, will he be so bad that in some way there is a sort of renaissance somewhere, somehow?
The silver lining around the storm cloud is going to be the economy. Barack Obama has to make the economy turn around very quickly once he's in office. And if he fails to do that, then the shine is going to be off his shoes pretty quickly.
All right, hold that thought, Bill, and I'm going to ask you a follow-up question about that and how we can expect the media to treat Obama when the political cesspool continues right after this.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.